Before I get into the message, I did want to mention we are having sewing at 4 o'clock this afternoon and going to be doing some new move-in visits as well. If it's raining a little bit, we still go do it because they're in different areas most of the time. And just go and visit 4 or 5 people that have recently moved to the area, just got a new list a couple days ago, and just tell them that you'd love to have them come to church and be your special guest. It's real easy to do, and especially if you're real friendly. And just love to have you come and do that this afternoon at 4 o'clock. That's what we're going to be doing today. And also, I wanted to say a word for a few moments to our audience watching the streaming today. We'd love to hear from you. We do know that quite a few people watch our stream and are listening at different times. So we'd love to hear from you. Drop us an email at info@tbccolleen.org. Love to hear from you and how we can improve some things. And so we're still young in doing this, and so we'd love to have any suggestions you may have and just love to hear from you and see how the Lord is using our broadcast in your life. Take your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 this morning. We're going to look at verses 13 through 23. And this morning, we're going to be looking at this passage in light of the challenges we face today. And one of the greatest challenges in Christianity and to Christianity today is information. We live in the information age. Anything you want to find out about, you just ask Google or ask Siri or ask one of the many search engines that are out there, and you can find information just in a few moments. And some information you maybe have to do a little research and dig for, but a lot of information that wasn't available 15, 20, 30 years ago to every person can be found in just a few moments from our smartphone. And one of the things that has increased in knowledge, yes, we've learned and increased in knowledge in science and technology and all of those things, and maybe even recent events, and our world has become smaller. Things that happen around the world, we find out instantaneously. One of the examples is that we have the Winter Olympics going on in South Korea, and we can keep up real time about what's going on in the Olympic Games for Team USA. Now, years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, it took some time to get that information. Even the 50s, you have to wait until the newspaper came out to see how if Team USA won a gold medal or not, and bobsledding or luge or whatever it may be. But today, as much as that information has grown, also information regarding religion has grown. Information regarding Christianity has grown. And Christians have to cut through so much mistruth today as you look at the internet. By the way, if you're going to the internet to find your theology, you're going to the wrong place. Okay? You find all kinds of far out ideas out there. All kinds of far out things there that, people have all kinds of opinions. You shouldn't get your theology from Blogspot, okay? Because you're gonna find all kinds of crazy things out there. We get our theology from God's Word. And that's what we stand upon. But there's so much misinformation out there about so many different things. And there are so many that profess to be Christians that truly are not, because they are trusting in a false gospel that was taught to them by a false teacher. But here's a question. How do we identify a false teacher? How do I identify someone who is presenting a false gospel? How do we determine if someone is teaching a false truth from God's Word? We see this. God gives us a test in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 through 23. If we could all stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God, Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 through 23 this morning. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you give us instruction from thy word tonight, this morning. I thank you, Lord, for laying this on my heart. And Lord, this message is an important one for all of us to hear. And Lord, I pray that so many false teachers, as they abound more and more, dear Lord, even Baptist pastors and Baptist teachers, some of them are false teachers. Lord, I pray that we would look to thy word and see how we may identify one so that we may stay away from it. That, Lord, we not be not deceived by it. And Lord, that we may help others come out of that error. We thank you, Lord, for your word and for the rock solid foundation that it is. That we may gain wisdom from it, Lord. I pray that we apply it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How do we identify a false teacher? In a message entitled, "Ye Shall Know Them by Their Fruits," taking a quote from the scripture here, how do we know if someone is a false teacher? How do we know if they're preaching a false gospel? How do we know if they're teaching false doctrine? How do we know that? Well, you will know them by their fruits. But first, before we begin, we're going to understand something that God thinks very seriously about false teachers. If we look at the law regarding false teachers, there have been false teachers since the fall of man, devil being the first one, taught Eve and Adam something that wasn't true, and taught them, and they believed it and fell into sin because of false teaching. And we see starting very early in the Bible that there were those that spread untrue facts about God and his commands. And there are several names given in Scripture for false teachers. One is a false teacher. One is false prophets, false Christs, sons of Belial, and so on. But in the Old Testament, there were laws and commands regarding those who had changed the commands of God. And we see that in Revelation that we're not to change the commands of God, not to change God's words, to add to or take away from them, not only the book of Revelation, but also all of God's word. God takes his word very seriously. He holds it above his very name. So when we handle God's word, we better be handling it correctly, not the way we think. And there are so many today that will stand in judgment of God because they have falsely taught God's word one way when God really says something else. Now let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. We'll look at the first five verses this morning as we see what God's command and part of the law of God it was for false teachers. This was part of the law of Israel. That this is what they were to do when they came across and found a false teacher among them. Starting in verse number 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 13. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, that giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass. Wherefore he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So the pastor, are you saying that we ought to go out and we got to burn false prophets at the stake? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God takes it very seriously. That God, the seriousness of the crime and the sin of taking God's people away from his word and away from his commands is a very serious offense to God. And we see in the last part of verse number 5, so shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. So this is someone who has said, I have the gift of prophecy and a dreamer of dreams, and that they say, they call a sign or a wonder at this certain time, this celestial event's going to happen. Or they work even a miracle, and it comes to pass. What they say must be true. Devil can do wonders as well. We see that with the Egyptian magicians, that Moses threw down his staff and it turned into a snake, and then the magicians did likewise. They threw their staffs down and their staffs turned into snakes, but Moses' ate up the other snakes because God is greater. Amen. Always is, always will be. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But we see that those signs and those wonders doesn't mean that what they're saying is true. Remember, the devil is the master of the sensational, but God is the God of the still small voice. We see that he did do signs and wonders throughout the Old Testament, also in the New, in the book of Acts. We see that. But we see that those things are not for today, and we learned that in Sunday school. And we also see in Jeremiah 23, verse 16, more instruction regarding false prophets and false teachers in Israel. And we think that false teachers was just a New Testament problem. It was an Old Testament problem as well. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 16. Jeremiah 23, verse 16. An instruction regarding false prophets and false teachers that would turn us away from the way of God. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. So a false prophet, a false teacher, they don't have a revelation from God. They make up what they want to say from their own heart and they proclaim what is against God, because our hearts are desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. We know that. And we know in our flesh. So if we're coming, bringing something out of our heart, of our own self, is it going to agree with God? No, it absolutely is not going to agree. Anything that we bring out of our heart that we want to do, it never agrees with God. That's the flesh never agrees with God because it's sinful, because it's corrupt, because it does not, one good thing dwells within it. And we see that from God's word. So we must say, hey, if this is coming from someone's heart and from their own mind and from their own experiences, it's not going to be godly. It's not going to be. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. We see another instruction regarding false teachers. And we're going to look more in depth at the instructions of the New Testament here in a few moments. But we're just going to look at, there were some laws and some things regarding false teachers. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Isn't that the truth? So many, many at that time, even more today, and they multiply and they multiply. The devil is trying to win by sheer numbers because he wants as many false prophets, as many false teachers, as many peoples whose God is their belly, as we're going to get to that in a moment, as many people as they can out there promoting a false gospel. You cannot believe how much false doctrine is in this town and in the United States of America today and in most of the world. You go out in these different places and you find out that you find the Jehovah's false witnesses there have gotten there before you. Amen? And they teach a false gospel. They teach a false Christ. They teach a false Bible. You get out there and you find Mormons out there. They teach a false gospel as well. They teach false doctrine. They teach a false Christ. They don't even teach that Christ is the very Son of God. Though they say he is. You get a little deeper into it. He's the brother of Satan. Which is totally not true. You look at Seventh-day Adventists. They have false doctrine and false teaching as well. Oh, aren't they all these people Christians? No, they're not. They call themselves Christians, but they deny the Christ of the Bible. They deny God's way of salvation. But are these genuine people? Yes, but they're sincerely wrong. And you notice all three of those that I mentioned started with a man. All three of them did. Actually, one started with a woman. Seventh-day Adventist started with Ellen May, I believe it was. And all these things, these are false things, and they started with false teachers. Islam started with what? A man, Muhammad, false teacher. Made himself into a false god, actually. These warnings and commands are for every generation, and for every good thing God has, the devil has several counterfeits. Not just one, he has several. He has a multiplicity of them. False teachers are counterfeit teachers that teach beliefs that are contrary to the scriptures. And why are they described as wolves? Is that they draw in genuine people who are looking for the truth of God. They're looking for truth. They're looking for something that's real. And they're drawn in and deceived. Many, when they find out the truth, are disillusioned and never have anything to do with God again. And this is exactly what the devil wants. He wants people to think that God and salvation is just a big fake. The devil wants people to think that God is not real and that he is the only reality in the universe. Isn't that what he did? He rebelled against God. That he wanted to ascend into the throne of God. that he wanted to be the God of the universe and dispose of God. You know, you always wonder, you look at the Bible and you're like, how could he be that deluded? Really? And you think about that, and he's deceived his own self. He is the first false teacher because he taught himself that he could be greater than God. He conceived the first line, he believed it himself, that he could be greater than God, and he still believes that he can. But many are disillusioned. Many go off to the wayside. But what are the fruits of a false teacher? You shall know them by their fruits. What are the fruits of a false teacher? Let's look at those. We've seen the first few verses of chapter 7. Look over here, back in Matthew chapter 7. And let's look at what God's word says here. Now, remember that, look at verses 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Broad is the way of many paths to God, right? Isn't that what so many teach today? There's many paths to God. It doesn't matter if you're a Hindu, you'll find God. It doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist, you'll find God. It doesn't matter if you're a Catholic and you believe in Mary and trust in Mary, you'll find God. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim and you trust in Allah and Muhammad, you'll find God. There's so many paths, so that requires a lot of lanes. That's a wide highway, isn't it? Has a lot of different lanes. Broad is the way. And what does it say? Here's the sad part. That should break our hearts. May there be which go in thereat. Many. Not a few, many. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Straight is the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. That's a one-lane highway. Jesus is the only way. He's the only way. That's one lane. That's not many wide highway. It's a narrow path. One path, and that is Christ. They said, well, that's interesting. But then why does it say in verse 15, beware of false prophets? You know what? If you look at some Bibles, they divide these things up. They go together. Jesus said them in sequence for a reason. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So why does he say that? Because he said, what he's teaching here, and as what happened in the Old Testament, what also is going to happen in our day, is that there are going to be false teachers that come and say, we don't need to be so restrictive on the way of salvation. We don't need to be. We just need to believe that God is and believe that Jesus is real and we're saved. Pastor in our very town teaches that. It's called universalism. Everyone, we're all saved. We just have to realize it. Jesus died for us all, yes, but we just have to realize that he died for us and just have a mental asset in our mind, and boom, we're saved. We don't have to call out to God. We don't have to do anything. I actually talked to women like that. I'll never forget, they came to visit the churches about 6 years ago. It was a husband and a wife. The husband, they both had different kind of funny ideas about salvation anyway. But I remember talking to her, my wife and I are sitting there, and we're talking to this lady, and sitting in their home, and we'll just ask them their salvation testimony. I just like to hear people's salvation testimony. I'd like to talk to them. And several people have gotten saved that way because they don't really have one. And you share the gospel with them, and they pray and accept the Lord. But this one lady said, so how did you get saved? How did you accept the Lord? And like, well, I just decided one day that I believed in him and I'm saved. You know what? I had been at a Bible college like 2 years. So I'm like, okay. And then Bible college didn't prepare me for this answer. Here, I was like, well, what do you mean you just believed? Oh, I just decided. I woke up one day and I realized that Jesus died for my sin and I just believe that he is. I didn't pray or anything. I just believe that he is. Well, there's a little problem with that because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I kind of mentioned that verse to her, quoted to her. She goes, oh, yeah, I called out to God in my mind and my mind called out and he saved me. I said, well, did you, pray? And I thought she meant she, just prayed in her heart. I said, no, my mind just made a realization and called out to God. It was really weird. And no matter what you said to her, she believed, she was saved because she just believed. You couldn't dissuade her from it. The devils believe and tremble. Believing in Christ doesn't save you. Just believing that he exists. Trusting in him for salvation, putting your faith and trust him, calling upon him, repenting of sin, and praying and asking for forgiveness of sin, calling out to God, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can pray in your heart silently, or you can pray out loud. But when we pray, we usually pray out loud, don't we? Amen? We pray with our mouth. Now, people that can't speak, can they get saved? Absolutely. They pray from their heart, because the heart is where salvation takes place, not in our mouth. Amen? Some people believe, well, you can't get saved unless you verbally say it out loud. That's what the husband believed, that you couldn't get saved unless you prayed out loud. A couple pastors in our town believe that. You can't get saved unless you pray out loud with your mouth. What about people that can't speak? What about people that can't, that are disabled and they can't speak? They can, their mind's all there, but they can't speak or do anything. Because confession is made with the mouth, but salvation takes place in the heart. You call upon God from your heart, and He'll save you. There are so many that have false way of salvation. You want to count the number of ways? There's so many, the almost unlimited number of ways that people believe that you can get saved. But what are the fruits of a false teacher? All people, saved or lost, are known by their fruits. Their action that the person takes, the results of their actions, the words that person says. False teachers will reveal their motivation eventually. And God describes them as wolves here, and also in Acts 20:29 describes them as wolves. And wolves are just fluffy big dogs that we play with, right? And wolves come to destroy. But also, wolves are smart. I'll never forget, I was up camping with a church group up in northern Minnesota. And we were out there in the middle of nowhere. I mean, we were 30 minutes from a gas station. We were in a dirt road, middle of nowhere. And we just were by Raccoon Lake up there and just having a great time in northern Minnesota. Now, northern Minnesota in June is cold, all right? It's nice during the day, but it gets 45, 50 degrees at night. It's cold. And we were up there, and the water was about 50 degrees, and we went swimming anyway. But it was really cold. But I went with another two young men. And I was in college at the time, and we were just going out. We're going to do a little hike in the woods at night. And my pastor said he had grown up around there and had gone camping there many times. Said, be careful of the wolves. Like, oh, really? Pastor just putting us on. There's not wolves up here. Oh, yeah, there's wolves up there. Because we went out. We were careful. Oh, we'll be careful. And we were walking along this path. And it was dark. And if you've never been in the forest, in the woods, at night, it's dark in there, all right? Because you can't see the moon. It's all covered with foliage. And it was dark in there. And we were walking, and we were trying to be real quiet on this path. And we were just walking, and then you all of a sudden hear a little snap. And you look over, and there's nothing there. You shine your flashlight around, oh, nothing there. Oh, it was probably just something in there. And then you walk around, and see, hear another couple, snap, snap. Look over there, nothing. And then we went a little further and looked over there, and no more, about 30 feet from us, was a very big gray wolf. And we're just looking at us. And then we looked to the left side, and there was another one. There was about five of them following us. So, what do we do? We're going to be tough, right? Dude, no, we ran. We ran for it. They said, that's the worst thing you could do. We ran like there was no tomorrow, because we know if there's a pack of wolves, we're done. And we weren't very far from camp, but we ran and said, there's wolves out there. There's wolves out there. And you know, I've never seen a wolf in the wild before. I never want to again. It's a terrifying experience because they're really big. They're a lot bigger than they look on Animal Planet, okay? And, you know, we didn't think, oh, look at that cute wolf. Come here, boy. Come over here. No, what do we know? Wolves destroy and they eat you. They're looking for food. And so why does God describe these false teachers as wolves? Because their purpose is to destroy. Their purpose is not to fulfill your spiritual needs. Their purpose is to destroy and to take what they can from you and use you. And that's what many false teachers do. But how does God describe false teachers? We're going to look at some passages this morning. I don't have a lot of time, but I'll keep it brief. How does God describe false teachers? Look at Isaiah 56 and verses 10 and through 12. Isaiah 56, 10 through 12. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs that cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain. From his quarter, come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. So what do we see? That false teachers, they're pleasure-seeking. We're seeing they're false shepherds. That they're not doing, they're put in a position of trust to watch over sheep. But instead, they are causing the sheep to fall into sin. And these are the wicked ones. And we see that in the Old Testament. You see, the priests and Levites had fallen into sin. They were pleasure-seeking. See, Eli's sons, they were pleasure-seeking. They also, they scattered the flock through divisions. Look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 2. We'll also look at Jeremiah chapter 50. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 2. They scattered the flock through division, dividing. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Look at Jeremiah 50, verse number 6. So we see that they're pleasure-seeking, they scatter the flock, and they lead the sheep to dangerous places. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse number 6. To dangerous places. A shepherd's job is to make sure the flock stays safe, because sheep on their own will get themselves into dangerous situations. They do not have the wisdom. It is considered that there's a couple animals dumber than a sheep, but a sheep is one of the dumbest animals in the world. Okay, so pastor, you're calling us dumb. No, I'm not saying that, but God describes us as that. Why? Because we need to be led and we need to be cared for. Amen? And sheep, they're so dumb that they can see water, but if there's an obstacle in their way and they can get around it, but they're so dumb at times, they'll die of thirst before they figure out how to get around the obstacle. They have to be led. They have to be cared for. And we see this in Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse number 6. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill, and they have forgotten their resting place. So the mountain, on high mountain, there's not grass there. It's rocky. It's dangerous. There's precipices. There's crevasses. There's cliffs. There's all kinds of dangers for a sheep on a mountain. And that's where the shepherds took them, to dangerous places. Didn't care that they might fall off and get hurt, but that's where they wanted them to go for their own purposes. Didn't take into account the need of the sheep. They teach that it's okay to break the commands of God. Now we're in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, back a couple of chapters from our passage. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. They teach that it's okay to break the commands of God. Matthew 5, 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we see that he described the Pharisees in that way. That he told people and proclaimed the Pharisees that they taught people things which were not in the law of God. Things that were not the commands of God. Actually taught them through their own man-made commands to disobey God's commands. And that is an attribute of a false teacher. They teach the commands of men instead. Look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 9. Matthew 15 and verse number 9. Now the last three are all in 1 Timothy, or 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. We're almost done. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. Did they teach the commands of men instead of God's? Matthew 15, verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And verse number 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. That's exactly what false teachers do. They teach the commands of man, not the commands of God. And also, we look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. False teachers, they desire to be a somebody. They desire to be well known. They desire to spread their influence. They're not satisfied to be in a small place or a place of low repute. They want to be a somebody. They want to be well known. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Now, being a teacher of the law in biblical times was a big deal, especially in the Jewish time, to the Jews. A teacher of the law would have been a scribe. A Pharisees were well known for being teachers of the law, also the Sadducees. But a scribe is someone, in order to be able to teach the law, they would have to memorize almost the entire Pentateuch in order to be a scribe, a doctor of the law, they were also called. So this was a very high calling, very prestigious, because not many people attained onto it because of how much work it involved. And said the desire here was, hey, they want to be in that place of prestige, but they don't even understand anything about God. They don't understand anything about His Word, and they just want to be in that place of authority for their own purposes. And we see so much of that today. We see there is a church over here not far away that I asked them, I said, so who's your pastor over there? So, oh, well, I'm the minister over there, but all of us, whoever wants to get up and preach, they can get up and preach. I was like, really? I said, oh, yeah. So we had one guy, he just walked in one Sunday, and he was just filled with the Spirit, brother, and he just came and he just preached. And said, hey, do you want to get up here and preach? And just people just get up and say whatever they want to say. That's the kind of church we have. I was like, well, that's not the kind of church I want to be in, because how do I know what they're saying is right? They haven't had any training. They haven't had any knowledge. Not saying that we always need training there always. God has used many ignorant people in the glory of God. Amen. However, they just get up and say whatever they want to say. So, oh, yeah, some of them don't even use a Bible verse. They just get up and start speaking, and it's a blessing. That's the commands of man. That's not what God would have us to do. God wants everything that we do based upon His Word. Amen. God wants everything that we do. And false teachers don't base it upon God's Word. They base it on what they think instead. They desire to be somebody. 1 Timothy 4:2, over a couple of pages. They speak lies, not even believing what they are teaching. They speak lies and get other people to believe, but themselves, they don't even follow it. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What does that mean, speaking lies and hypocrisy? They speak lies, they teach lies, but they're so hypocritical, they don't even follow it themselves. They don't follow what they said is truth to somebody else. They know it's a lie, and they don't follow after it. And also, look at 2 Timothy 4:3, the last passage here. They tell people what they want to hear. We know 2 Timothy 4:3 very well. That in the last days, and we're living in the last days for sure, we see the evil that is around. We see so much misinformation about God. And whenever you talk to someone at the door, I can't tell you how many types of theological discussions and people just have these far out all kinds of ideas. I think, Brother Hammonds, you had one of those a couple weeks ago. You're just talking to them, and sounds good, but then they start going off on all these things. And I remember talking to one guy who actually invited me in his house, and he started going out over all of these things. Had a little bit of Catholicism in there. Had a little bit of Baptist doctrine in there. Had a little bit of Mormon doctrine in there. Had a little bit of Jehovah's Witness. Had a little mysticism and Buddhism in there, too. And so this is what I believe. I said, you just got a little bit of everything in there, don't you? And I just asked him, I said, would you be willing to change your beliefs if I can show you from the Bible that what you're saying, what you believe is not true, but if God says is true? No, you won't convince me. I said, well, there's not much more I can say. If you won't believe the Bible, there's not much more we can say, amen? I can't sit here and tell you what I believe, because what I believe is based on the Bible. So if you don't believe what the Bible says, then you're not going to believe in what I believe in. And that's sometimes the sad truth of people. They don't want to hear what the truth is. They want to believe what they want to believe. But there are some who seek after the truth. And we find those all the time. If you look for them, you'll find them. Amen. God will lead them. God will lead you to them, because they seek after the truth and God wants them to come to Himself. They tell people what they want to hear. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, this is the time we're in. Won't endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I was such a blessing having Brother Davis here, and we were going up back forth to Waco. Spent a lot of time together over 2 weeks, and we talked a lot and things. We'd just be working on the lift, and I would just say something to him. We'd have a conversation of him from on top of the lift there while he's working. And he's just saying, it's just amazing. He said, churches that we go into, he said, what people are doing now. He says, it's just amazing. And Brother Starr told me when I went on the road, that my eyes are going to be open to things that go on. He says, just amazing. Churches, I mean, fundamental independent Baptist churches, he says, just all kind of weird stuff going on. He says, it's crazy. Believing all kinds of crazy things because they've bought into a false teacher or some false doctrine. It's terrible. And it happens a lot more than we would like to admit. But what do we do about false teachers? What do we do about false teachers? We reveal them for what they are, false teacher. God does. You know, and there are some people that say, well, we shouldn't mention names of other people. Now, I understand what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to avoid people bashing and backbiting, and we should avoid that. Amen? Proverbs 25:23 is very clear about that. However, let us consider this thought, okay? Now, this I want you to think for me with me for a minute. Let's imagine here, not saying that there is. This is a story, okay, kids? This is not for real. All right? Say in the backwoods, there's a dangerous animal back there. And you know what? And someone found it. You knew that it was there, and you knew that there was a dangerous animal. And you told everybody in the church, and they said, well, what animal is it? I can't tell you that. I don't want to name names. Because it might offend that animal there. I might offend someone there. I don't want to be accused of backbiting or anything like that. So I'm not going to tell you. It's just dangerous, though. Dangerous. But what is it? What do I need to do to get rid of it, to defend myself against it? I can't tell you that. You know what? If you think, Pastor, that's silly. That's just as much. We don't want to mention names of people who are false teachers. I said, more than one person's gotten mad at me because I mentioned a certain denomination. Not saying we hate these people. We don't. We should love them, but we should expose the false doctrine for what it is. It's false. It's wrong. If people believe in it, they die and go to hell because they aren't trusting in the God of the Bible. They're saying, Lord, Lord, and we see here in Matthew chapter 7, near the end, the last two verses. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things, these sayings of mine, oh, back up, verse 21, that everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is he talking about? He's talking about these false teachers. Hey, I did this all in your name, Lord. I did miracles. I cast out demons. I've done many wonderful works in thy name. Aren't I saved? No, you're not, if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, that work iniquity. Because they bought into their own false doctrine and their own false lie. They deceived everybody else. They think they can cheat God and get into heaven. That doesn't work. Oh, I can even deceive God. Oh, isn't that what the devil thought? Oh, and that he still thinks he can. He can deceive God and he can pull wool over God's eyes and not see through what he really is. I believe it's responsibility to call out false doctrine and heresy for the good of God's people so that they might be protected. Not to be harsh, not to be nasty, but to reveal the false doctrine so that we might avoid it. If you don't know what to avoid, you won't avoid it, right? You know, if you were taught driver's ed and you were never told to avoid those little orange cones, right? You know, we kind of an obvious thing. We never taught to stay away from them. Hey, let's see if we can run one over. If you do, by the way, it's not going to do good things for your car. But you were not taught that. You ran over, you found out. Well, you found out after the fact, didn't you, that you're supposed to stay away from those things. Or maybe you were taught that you never taught that when a school bus has its lights on, you're not supposed to pass it. Right? You'll find out real fast that you're not supposed to do that and have a great big ticket. We need to know what these things are so we can avoid them and teach these things to people in love, okay? Because these people are genuine. They believe what they believe. They've been taught that this is the truth. Just like we believe we've been taught the truth because we don't base it on what man says but what God says. We know we have the truth because God said it. And so many people, well, what makes your truth different than mine? Because mine's true and yours not. That's the difference. Yours is man truth. Yours is man's version of the truth. This is the devil's version of the truth. This is God's truth. And God is truth. God is the only truth. If you don't believe that, you're in a heap of trouble. If you believe there's other types of truth out there, you're in a heap of trouble. Because when we start thinking that, then all kinds of things we're open to. And all kind of believing all kinds of things. There's so much information out there that people believe that isn't true. That when we die, we all go to heaven, we turn into angels. We don't turn into angels when we go to heaven, if you're saved. That we get a pair of wings when we go to heaven. We don't get a pair of wings. We get a halo. You don't get a halo. Halos are never mentioned in the Bible, by the way. Halos are in the art was to use to depict something, one that was holy or divine. You know, we don't get a halo. We don't get to play our golden harp on a cloud all day long, right? But you'd be surprised how many people believe that. That's what's going to happen. That their child died and as a child and they're in heaven as an angel. They're not. They're in heaven. But they're not an angel, though. Many people take comfort in that. Oh, now they're a little angel running around. Now they're protecting somebody else. All these things, false things that aren't true. And there's things that we have been taught about in Bible stories, especially as a kid. There's details in there that aren't true. I've told you this before. There's different things. And I found out when I read the Bible through, as I was taught that in Sunday school, I was mad. Because I was taught this in Sunday school, that this is gospel truth. This is what happened. And you read the Bible, that's not what happened. Right? So I encourage you, if you're teaching a Sunday school curriculum, make sure it's a Bible-based one and that you read through all the details of the story and you read what God's Word says and make sure they haven't left the detail out or they kind of combine them, make it simpler for children, but they change the detail and that's wrong. We need to put all the details in there, amen? You need to preach and teach what God said. What does God say that we must do with false teachers? Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 11. What must we do with false teachers? God's word is clear of what we're to do with them. Now, this is in the relation when they're in the church. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 11. When they're in the church, their false teaching is not to continue. Titus chapter 1, verse 11. Those mouths must be stopped who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. That's money. For notoriety, for fame, for heaping groups of people to themselves. And you know, there's some people that come through, and one person said to me one time, well, I know a lot of big-name preachers. I know a lot of, that was impressive. I was like, okay, well, so, oh yeah, I met all these ones. And you know, some people, they run around and, hey, look at my Bible. I had all these people, these great preachers, I sat under them and everything, and I had them sign my Bible. You look at their life, they live like a heathen. Well, obviously you didn't listen to what they were telling you. But hey, but that's a big name preacher, you know, and they're great and big and everything, and they have these preachers that they get up and they have an applause and like a basketball game. I'm sorry, that's not the biblical model. We got to be a nobody before we're somebody. What did Paul say? I am the least of all the apostles because I persecuted the church. So I'm the least of all the apostles. I'm lowly. I'm the least of them all. I have nothing to glory in because I persecuted the church. You know, none of us have nothing to glory in. Not one false teacher has anything to glory in. None of us do. We're all wicked, dirty, rotten sinners saved by the grace of God. What are we to do? We're to silence them. Pastor, so we're going to go out and beat them up? No, I didn't say that. But in the church, they're to be removed. They're either told to stop their false teaching or be removed from the church. And many times with a false teacher, when they're found out, they leave on their own anyway. I found that out twice. We've had two people that have come in for short periods of time, a couple weeks, and they started teaching false doctrine. And I caught it. And I told them, you're welcome to worship here, but I want to hear any more about this false doctrine from you to our church members. If not, you'll be asked to leave. They never came back. And I was nice to them. I said, I love you. I want you to know the way of the truth. But what you're believing, and I showed them from the Bible, what you believe is not true, is not right. And don't be telling them. And that's being a shepherd. Got to protect the sheep. Trust me, I'll protect you with God's word. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's power. But then they ended up leaving. Two different people. They came for a couple weeks, visited. They kind of came and went. But we have to be aware of that. Will we call out false doctrine? Will we teach our families what to look out for? Will we teach those around us that false doctrine is dangerous? Let's not put our head in the sand. There's so much false doctrine out there. But let's be aware. If we study our Bibles, if we know the Word of God, and we pray and ask for God's wisdom, we will know what is true and what is not. Try the spirits to be whether they be of God. God gives us discernment in that. This is the battle that we must fight today. This is the fight that too many have put off too long. We must fight against false doctrine, even in our churches. And more churches are buying into false doctrine. There are independent Baptist pastors of large churches, heads of colleges, that teach false doctrine today. So, Pastor, start naming them all. I've named them all before, but I'm not going to do it again. I don't have time. I ran out of time. That's why. But they teach things that are false. The commands of man and not the commands of God. And we're having pastors and evangelists and missionaries being turned out by these places that believe the same thing. and it's dangerous. Be aware, and let's stand with the truth. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for all that you teach us and you command us. And Lord, I pray that we would be aware of false teachers and false doctrine, Lord, that we would not entertain such things, that we would not meddle with such things, Lord, but that we would put it away from us, as your word tells us in Deuteronomy, to put away the evil from the midst of us. Lord, I pray that we would do that. Forgive us, Lord, if we have been tempted with false doctrine, if we have read behind those who believe the wrong things, dear Lord, I pray that we would put those things away from us and trust in thy word and thy word alone. Bless us this morning. Bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.